Thank you. We will now give over to Mr. Koko to respond to the video.
Honorable Ranto, thank you. I was asked on the video three times one question. Did you prepay Optimum? I said no. I was asked again, are you sure you didn't prepay Optimum? I said, I don't think we did. I was asked again, did you prepay Optimum? Look at this document. I took the document, First, I was shocked that there's a signature of mine attached to a document that prepays Optimum, because I never paid Optimum. Eskom never paid Optimum. In fact, if I have to quote the business rescue practitioner in this hearing, he says, we confirm that the prepayment was not made to Optimum. We were certainly in control of Optimum Coal Mine. Optimum Coal Mine did not receive the 586 subsequent payment to the close of the transaction. Optimum Mine entered into a sale agreement with Tegeta for the supply of coal to Arnold. But at the time of the prepayment, certainly that prepayment was not made to Optimum. That is a version of the business rescue practitioners which I agree with. It would have been extremely irregular for Eskom to prepay Optimum. Extremely. Because Eskom has no contract with Optimum to supply coal to Arnold. The same business rescue practitioner says in this room the contract was between Eskom and Tegeta. We had a 30-day notice contract with Optimum. The voiceover, I think, was misleading. The voiceover says Koko denies or lies about prepaying Tegeta. That's a voiceover. The actual interview that I was asked was, did Eskom prepay Optimum? I said no. I was asked again, did Eskom prepay Optimum? I said no. Then I said, well, you don't take my no, maybe I made a mistake. He said, you made a mistake. So I made a mistake. But I know she was wrong. So I deny that. I did not lie.
I think I always say picture tells a thousand words. I wouldn't want to engage further than that, but there's just one issue that I want to pursue, perhaps, is, and this is the engagement when we had the engagement, and this is the submission that went to both the December board meeting and the 2016 April. There is talk of Optimum, and Optimum under Tegeta. There's also talk of Optimum under Glencore. And are you prepared to concede that in the submissions that we discussed this morning or this afternoon?
You're going to have to show me that. In the 11 April for the prepayment 2006, there's no way you find Tegeta there.
There's no way you find Tegeta, there's no way you find Optimum.
No, it's about there's no way you find optimum there. You find Tegeta.
You find Tegeta.
You find Tegeta, you will not find optimum.
Now, for somebody, I mean, you know clearly between the two of you, yourself and the lady that interviewed you, you knew the transaction better than her.
That's correct.
And there is use of optimum under Glencore. The use of optimum under Tegeta. Is that not the case?
No, you're going to have to show me. You're going to have to make me decide.
Hey, forget about the submissions. Forget about the submissions. But there was optimum owned by Tegeta, which was after the transaction was signed and all conditions were met.
Yes, remember Optimum acquired the rights to procure Tegeta acquired the rights to procure the assets of Optimum in December, 10 December. And in March, I think they started owning it in March.
It's fine. Let's focus on the document that you were shown. The document that you showed, which is the submission of the 11th of April. When you saw the document, with the information that you know about that document, what was so difficult in you saying to the lady, this document is not to prepay Optima, it was to prepay Tegeta? Because you knew the document, you'd worked on it. So what was such difficult with that?
Actually, at the end of the interview, I thought you got it, that you understood it. When we were done with the interview, I was left with the impression that she understands the prepayment went to Tegeta, not Optimum. I was surprised by the boss over that I saw there. My parting shot with her left me the impression that she gets it now.
No further questions.
Thank you very much, Advocate. I will now give over to the members to ask questions. How do I start? Luyang, then it's it will be Luyenge at the corner there, and then it will be Mazone, and then it will be Gungubele, and then Mr. Swart. Lamini, Mr. Mare, Mr. Teddy, in that order, ne? The chair, did you raise your name? Oh, chair. Ganga. Honorable Vuyeng.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Mr. Koko, it is your opportune time for you to make a contribution that will clear the dark cloud over the state-owned enterprises, of which Eskom is one of them, on the perception that is all over, that the state resources that are looted deliberately by individuals within these institutions is something that is a concern to all South Africans. So the position that you are in and the importance of the position that you are filling should be used by us here, because we rely on you to clear that information honestly. Can you therefore indicate that in the position that you are in, you do not know any of the Gupta family members pertaining in the service provision at Eskom illegally, or if legal, you indicate? Can you indicate?
You will respond to each and every question, Mr. Koko. A member will ask one question and you respond to that question, and then he or she will carry on like that until he finishes all these questions.
Thank you, Honorable Randall. I do not know, and I have not met any of the Gupta brothers I see on the pictures. I have met Mr. Hawa. I have met Ashu. I have met Satimisa.
On what did you meet them?
Mr. Howard was the CEO of Tegeta Resources and Exploration when they did the transaction with Optimum. Mr. Ashu was in the meeting of November 24th with Mr. Howard. 2015. Salim Issa, I met him a couple of times. He is a shareholder of Trillion, and he met me a couple of times to discuss the Trillion transaction with McKinsey.
Did you at any given time push Optimum in order to ensure that Optimum is bankrupt and that will benefit any of the Gupta-related companies?
No. I shared with the committee the letter of September 2014. In that letter, you will find reference that Optimum, Glencore took control of Optimum in 2012. After the negotiations of the 2011 price. From that day they took over, they claimed hardship and pretended and created an impression that they took over Optimum not knowing what the actual conditions of Optimum is. All what Eskom did from 2011, not in Koko's time, was to insist on the compliance to the coal supply agreement. In the letter of September 2014, reference is made to the export product. Fact is, Optimum was in trouble because the international coal prices did not perform the way they expected. The arrangement of the mine of the coal contract was based on export subsidizing Eskom. When the coal prices were good, they took the upside. They never shared it with Eskom. When the coal prices went down, they won favors from Eskom. All what you did was to comply with the coal supply agreement.
Did you
Sorry, Honorable Luyenge, can I correct something that in fact, let me highlight something that I have forgotten. Every member today, the generosity of 2018 has just finished. So every member will get 30 minutes of asking questions, of interacting with Mr. Koko. The generosity is gone. It's unfortunate.
Thank you, sir. did you ever refuse Pembani's offer on Optimum to make way for any of the Gupta-related companies?
No, we did not.
Did you facilitate any contract and payment to Trillium?
I'm on record that I said no.
How do you justify the notion that you lied on TV about that transaction?
The transaction we talk about is on Optimum.
On Optimum.
We just looked at the video now. You see, what's interesting about this video is we talk about them in the same sentence. Here are we today saying Eskom, we think you are wrong to pay Trillium because you did not have a contract with Trillium. That version is sensible because in Eskom terms, when you pay a supplier, the invoice must be backed up by goods received, goods received must be backed up by an order number. We call it a three-way machine. So when I get an invoice, I say, was the work done? The work done is signaled by goods received. And when the goods received, I ask, was there an order? And I tick, tick, tick. I could not have done that with Optimum. It was going to be wrong. It was going to be irregular. So I did not lie.
Let's get into the prepayment itself. The Tegeta prepayment. Tegeta did not own any mine at the time. How do you then allow or participate into a situation whereby you want coal that will be sourced from a mine and then you are giving a loan to a company that is not in possession of a mine? What was the idea behind that?
You will recall that Tegeta used to own Brakfontein Mine. The contract of Brakfontein Mine was 3.7 billion rands that was awarded on the 10th of March 2015. The following day was suspended. I think they disposed it to Shiva in February 2016. They beneficiated coal even after they disposed of Brakfontein. And the Eskom policy on coal procurement is that you don't sell to middlemen. You don't sell to somebody who buys coal and sells it. You sell to somebody who mines it. And if he doesn't mine it, he must beneficiate it. In other words, he must size it and wash it. That is why you see on the mandate of 2008, there's a prepayment approved for 2008, and 200 million rands of that was to pay suppliers for the washing plant, beneficiating plant. So it's perfectly normal. Suzanne, that Ms. Daniels testified in this committee, that was perfectly normal for Tegeta, for Eskom to do that transaction with Tegeta.
You allege that you have an assumption, or I believe that we have an assumption that says Mr. Tsotsi suspended you of a reason that you know. What do you think the reason behind that suspension, if it was unjustified, by Mr. Tsotsi?
I, in my affidavit, Tsotsi approached me around June 2014. He said, there are suppliers that are selling transformers. They've manufactured transformers they want to sell. Can you take them? I said, Mr. Tsotsi, we can't do that. There is no commercial process in Eskom that will allow me to do that. He went away. He went to my juniors, Maliselek. He said to Maliselek, I've asked Mr. Koko this. He does not want to do it. You do it. Mr. Maliselek wrote a letter. Mr. Tsotsi signed it. And the next thing I got was a letter from the supplier that says, your chairman has agreed to pay me 69 million rands. I said, my chairman has no authority to do what he's done, so I'm not going to pay you. Mr. Tsotsi come back to me and say, you need to do that. I said, chairman, I can't do that. I can't do that. He goes to the CE. The CE comes to me and says, we can't do this. It's wrong. I went back to the GM. I says, I can't do anything to the chairman. He does not report to me. The matter is now with my group executive. He must deal with it with the board, but I'm going to deal with you. I suspended him. I put him through a process. We got an external chairman. He was fired. The CEO of Eskom came to me and said, Mr. Gopo, you're making a problem for me. Because I have an instruction from the chairman that we must unsuspend Maliselek, or both of us are going to be suspended. I said, but Chief, I've kept you in the loop. You know why I did what I did. I will not do it. That was on Thursday. On Sunday, I got a call from the CE's assistant. He says, what's happening? I believe there's an urgent board meeting on Monday to suspend you and the chief. I says, I don't know, but I've had something similar from the chief. On Monday, I walked into the office. I went to the chief. The PA from the chief says, the chief is not here, but there's a special board meeting. And I think Mr. Koko is about you and I left the office. That's when I called Mr. Nance. We were not suspended on Monday. The minister came on Wednesday. 11 o'clock. Quarter to 8 p.m. I was suspended. And the reason given was basically I'm sabotaging the power system. And I knew that was not the reason. I had the vision of Nkandla on TV when I was watching. That was the first time I had the Nkandla vision. The vision I know. It was no coincidence that once we were ushered out by the security because we criminals that are sabotaging the country, the chairman says, unsuspend Maliselek and make him the CEO of Eskom. That was the version of mistake in this committee.
After your return from the suspension, you discovered that at Eskom, in terms of the management of contracts, there is stagnation. What is the cause of that, in your understanding?
I'm not sure what you mean by stagnation. What I want to point out, which people often don't realize, and the reason for that is because...
Let me clarify the stagnation that I refer to. There is no movement in terms of that particular aspect. So you made special reference to the management of contracts that you had to deal with on your return.
certainly. That I thought I articulated. It's what people don't understand. And it's a very painful moment when you're in a situation that I find myself in, because you can't talk for yourself. You are on suspension. The conditions of your suspension is you can't talk. So you listen to all the stories that have been said about you, and you can't defend yourself. South Africans do not know that Optimum went into business rescue when I was on suspension, 4 months of suspension. It started halfway through. It was on business rescue. I was sitting at home. I had nothing to do with it. The reason I started with the chronology and the timeline was to make this committee aware. The part I am telling this committee comes out of my knowledge of reading the documents, interacting with the documents, and making sense of the documents. McKinsey was approved on the 6th of July. The famous contract that I'm supposed to have with a brilliant thief of. The 6th of July, I was sitting at home. I was on suspension. I was already on suspension for 3 months when it was approved. And here am I being called a thief. And I can't speak for myself. It hurts. It's painful.
Mr. Koko, the former chief executive officer, group chief executive officer, Mr. Brian Molefe, in his response, dated 30th August 2016, stated that at the outset it must be recorded that Eskom has managed and continues to manage its risk related to coal supply from Tegeta and other suppliers prudently and within the framework provided in terms of the coal supply agreements. Eskom shall take such necessary steps against suppliers who breach the terms of such coal supply agreements and expose Eskom to risk as it is entailed in your annexure, in the annexure K. What's your view?
That's correct. You know, since 2008, the coal price for Eskom has increased by average 18%. The second biggest reason. In fact, if you look at the report of Moody of the 5th of December 2016 and the 20th of September 2016, I don't have them, but I can supplement them. They say primary energy costs are the single biggest risk for this country. 18% annual is out of line. But in 2016, the increase was 2%. Because we played hardball, we took painful decisions. 2% compared to 18%. We took hardball. We've cancelled contracts. We've been labelled. I mean, there's a contract called JustCo. There's a narrative that says, I mean, you heard it on the video. We cancelled JustCo so that you can create a shortage at Arnot so that we can bring the The matter is before the court. JustCo is in court now. We will deal with it, we'll argue it in court. And I put it to this committee that this version that the cancellation of JustCo is linked to Optimum will not see the light of day in court.
What do you say when I put it to you that Eskom had an obligation to know or should have been aware when responding through its CEO on the 30th of August 16. And Eskom allowed the coal supply agreement to commence before the supplier had completed and reported a successful combustion test for coal supply to Majuba Power Station. This irregularity was reported in a PricewaterCoopers, a report dated the 10th of November in 2015. What's your response?
I am aware of that report. You will notice that there are two PwC reports that we presented both at SCOPA on the 30th of May. That ESCOM presented it, but I noticed that. When those contracts were done, again, it's one of those that I had nothing to do with. I don't know about them. What I can tell you is the coal that goes to Majuba today is compliant. That's all what I can tell you. What happened in 2014 and 2015, I can't tell. I was not there. But in my time, up until I was suspended, we've never delivered coal to Majuba that was non-compliant. On the 31st of August 2015, I suspended the contract of Tegeta because there were complaints that 50%, and I think it's in the PwC report as well, you'll find it, that 50% of the coal delivered was out of spec. My immediate response, not knowing what the truth is, was to suspend them. And I told them, I'm suspending your contract because I've heard these complaints. I'm going to work with you and my team. We will appoint a national laboratory. We will take samples. We took 3 samples. We prepared them. We sent them to the national laboratory. On the 6th of September, I unsuspended Tegeta to supply coal to my team on the basis of the results of the SABS. I then suspended the laboratory and the 4 technicians that were working on it.
I also want to put it before you that ESCOM also failed to enforce the clause 22.10 of the coal supply agreement, which required drainage tests to be conducted by not later than 30 days after the first delivery of Conrad coal. The minutes on the monthly technical liaison meeting dated 13th of May 2015 indicates that drainage tests were not done as required by the coal supply agreement. Then also that a failure continued to include the enforcement of clause 22.2 read together with clause 20.8.1.1 of the coal supply agreement, which requires the supplier to have acceptable automechanical sampling equipment for sampling of coal. The minutes of the monthly technical liaison meeting dated the 10th of February 2016 indicates that Tegeta Exploration and Resources was advised to write a letter to ESCOM stating reasons for failing to install the auto sampler by the 1st of July 2015 and to provide a date when it will be installed. And also the fact that you were not there. In the name of collective leadership, it is not that from the inception date of you doing your work where you are employed that you will be responsible for what you found it there. You have a responsibility also of going back and redress the imbalances of your previous officials who were there. So, but in terms of getting that information and aligning that with your strategy to deal with the future plans in the organization, so it is not fair to say, no, I am not going to be responsible for something that occurred when I was not there. We can't say because we only got into power in 1994, then we are not responsible for the problems that exist. But now we are there, we are in charge, we have an obligation, a clear obligation to address such problems. We can't cry foul and blame the previous regimes that were there.
Honorable Rang, you've not asked a question, but let me say this. The PwC report that you are quoting from was, and there's two of them, both of them were commissioned by the chief financial officer after consultation with me. Both the PwC report were internal assurance report commissioned by the CFO with my support. And the reason we did that is because we wanted to solve the problems. The second report, if you look at the second PwC report, what it does, it takes all what you are reading, it leads them, and then the second one says, were they done? So we went to SCOPA and says, we came in, both the CFO and myself were not there. We called PwC and says, we said to PwC, we have a reason to believe things are not like that. Please go check for us. They went to check for us. They brought the report that you quoted from. We says, and in that report, there's the management response. You'll find there's management response for the primary energy team. And they conceded that they accepted it. We went to fix it. And then we went to SCOPA. And we said to SCOPA, this is what happened. We went to look for it, and we fixed it. We volunteered that report you are reading from to National Treasury. We volunteered to them because we were transparent, we had nothing to hide. The unfortunate part is that it comes back as a stick, as if we were not voluntary, as if we were not proactive.
When suspending coal from Brandfontein Colliery, that Eskom allowed the coal supply agreement to commence before the supplier had completed and reported a successful conversion test for coal supply to the Majuba I've referred to. But then, in your response, I would appreciate if you can include your immediate response to this, because that obligation of knowing remains upon you, Nkulu.
I'm not sure how I ought to have known that the contract is not concluded properly, because that information is before the contracts manager. And it's a detail that is a bit too distant from me. But once I knew that the coal qualities are presumed not to be compliant, I immediately acted and corrected the situation.
The Special Board Tender Committee did not approve a deviation to conclude new contracts with various suppliers, but approved the extension of the existing short-term coal supply agreement. Is that correct?
Honorable Yang, I think I'm lost. I'm not sure which contracts you're talking about.
Mr. Koko, I am referring to the Special Board Tender Committee that resolved that Chief Financial Officer has to authorize and approve the basis for the prepayment to secure the fixed coal price for in a period of extension, provided that there is a discount in the price, which the supplier offers a guarantee in favor of ESCOM, and that the CFO can provide assurance to the committee that the transactions are economically viable.
That is the meeting of the 11th of April, 2016. There were only two transactions there. It was Umsimbiti and it was Tegeta, and they were both approved.
Do you agree with me when I say also in that meeting it transpired that there was no evidence that the chief financial officer submitted any assurance report to the board tender committee assuring the committee that the transactions are economically viable? Do you agree with me?
I'm really unsure. We wanted coal. One of the suppliers requested prepayment. We knew the issue of security is very important. We delegated it to the authority that is competent. The board delegated to him as a competent authority to make sure that the securities that are in place are sound and are reasonable. I got assurance from our head of legal that all is in order. And I signed the contract on that basis.
Thank you, Honorable William.
Well, no, thanks, Chairperson. The last one relates to the due diligence study that was supposed to have been done by the CFO, which I believe that the 2 days difference between the 11th and the 13th was not enough. Can you indicate as to whether that due diligence study was actually done by the CFO? And I will rest my case.
I trusted that the CFO and our head of legal have done their job and have applied their mind. I had no reason to doubt them. I still don't have a reason to doubt them. I have noticed the questions that were raised yesterday about the shares and other things. I have no comment on them. I've noticed them, but I have no comment on them. But I don't doubt that they are the authorized people, they are the competent people. I don't doubt that they done their job.
Excuse me. Thank you, Honorable Luyenge. Honorable Mazon.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Kalker, have you read the public protector, the ex-public protector, Thuli Madonsela's state of capture report?
No.
No. Okay, let me put it in a nutshell for you. Basically, how it goes is state capture isn't this theory that exists. It's a very real thing that exists. And in this state capture, what there is a, for lack of a better word, there's a monster. And then there's parasites that are feeding this monster. And what they do is they take money from our state-owned entities or from government departments. So in other words, they take money from the poorest of the poor, and they pump money into those who are already rich and simply getting richer. Now, in state capture, one of the companies that features predominantly is Eskom. And it features predominantly because if one looks at the three major state-owned entities, you have Eskom, Transnet, and Enel. Now, if you are going to loot Transnet, the cleverest way would be to make sure locomotive deals went to the right people. And if you were going to cause chaos in Dinal, you would make sure that arms deals went through postbox companies and maybe kickbacks in the procurement of arms. But Eskom was a tough one. And when it came to Eskom, it was all about the coal. Who got the black gold? And coal features heavily in state capture. And it's one of the predominant features of state capture. And that's why this committee is asking you so many questions about coal. And we ask them to you too, because you're one of the experts in coal. You were the group executive for Generation. You were the group CEO. And just as of last week, still the group executive of Generation. Now, I don't claim in any way, shape or form to be an expert in coal. But what I can tell you is that me and my colleagues on this committee have been schooled, and schooled very well, by people who are experts in coal. And they have told us what to look out for. And even as someone who has absolutely no engineering or geological background of any form, I now understand a lot more about coal than I should. And certain things still don't make sense to me. Now, the biggest issue I have with Tegeta is this. I simply don't understand why it was necessary for Tegeta to have a prepayment. A company like Eskom pays out millions of rand, in fact, in a year, billions of rands. It could afford the coal payments. It has government guarantees. It could have issued a guarantee on the coal. And I don't understand why this prepayment was necessary, if not for the obvious conclusion of having to assist the Guptas in buying a mine. And that's my conclusion. That's many conclusions, many South Africans' conclusion, and many experts' conclusion. And I'd like an answer from you as to why I shouldn't come to this conclusion.
I don't think you should. And if you do, then you should do it for the 3.5 billion rands of prepayments that we've done in 2016.
Okay, now let me stop you there because we're pressed for time. So please don't think I'm being rude. I'm just simply, you know, we're going to move fast here. I don't think you should have prepaid for any of the coal. What I do want to know is this. Have you received the coal? Have we got waybills for the coal? Where is the coal now? Has it been invoiced? And is it being stored?
By July 2016, mm-hmm. we received every single ton of coal that we prepaid for.
And that's an absolute guarantee.
Every single ton of it. And we had it audited. And I listened to the CFO yesterday, and he referred to the independent audit that assured him that every single ton of coal was received.
Now, you see, it's very difficult for us to trust everything that comes from Mr. Singh. Because last night, Mr. Singh forgot many things. He couldn't remember places he'd been. He couldn't remember meetings he'd been in. He couldn't remember documents he'd signed. So that's why I'm not going to test your testimony against Mr. Singh's testimony. Because quite frankly, I'll be quite frank about it, and I said it last night. I said to Mr. Singh, I asked him a question. He said, well, I think you should ask Mr. Coco. And I said, well, I'm sure Mr. Coco is going to refer me back to you. Because it was like a badminton match going on between the two of you. So what I want to know is this. Why put yourself in the precarious financial situation? If I want to purchase something from you, you should be hungry for my business. You should be hungry to provide me with this commodity that I'm using. I shouldn't have to beg you for a commodity. We see now how we've got mines fighting each other to provide Eskom. How did we allow this initial situation of prepayment to arise?
Honourable, only two things. At best, on the CFO, at best I can do is to present to you the independent audit report that I refer to, which is an ESCOM document, it's not CFO's document, that shows that the coal was delivered. That's the best I can do. The second thing, James, to your question is that when we do the prepayments, we do a business case and we show value add. In fact, on the submission of the 1.68 billion, you will see the calculations of the value add. We don't have a blanket statement that says we don't do it.
Okay,
but
so
when we do it, it must have
value added
and
be tested.
Show, and it must be tested.
Okay.
It must show value.
Now, does that mean that on the meeting, let me just get the date right because I don't want to confuse anyone. The 11th of April, 2016, when the BTC sat in the evening, is that what you were doing that night? Were you negotiating the best possible deal that we could get from Tegeta?
On the 11th of April, 2016, the executives were persuading the board that it is the best thing to do because as part of the emergency that was declared on 23rd of December, we do that as part of the winter plan. And we wanted to avoid load shedding at all costs.
Okay, now I buy that. I buy that that's what you were doing. Here is my concern. A letter from Tegeta was made publicly available. It's in the public space. Was emailed to Eskom in the morning, to Ms. Ayanda, where she said, following the completion of our negotiations, and she continues to list all the points that were negotiated, and she says, we are now ready at your request to start giving over our product. But the meeting to do the negotiations only happened in the evening of the 11th. Now that worries me because that means somewhere, somehow, someone was negotiating without all of you knowing about that. Who could have been negotiating on your behalf?
Well, Ms. Ndeta leads our procurement division. She presented a document that had form and structure and the numbers to it. When she came to us, she said, this supplier needs a prepayment. And they read in there that she could have only known after talking to them.
All right, so it was by the time it came to you in the evening, it was basically a fait accompli.
I'm not sure what it means a fait accompli because the board tender committee is a decision maker. The board tender committee could have listened to us and said no, and we'll walk away with a no answer. It was not a fait accompli. The board tender committee is a decision maker, not us.
So, you see, this is also another problem, and I think it shows what the problem in corporate management at Eskom is. The board tender committee is a decision-making body, not us. But ultimately, the buck stops with you. So the board tender committee has to do the right thing, or you're going to get the blame for it. But just let me leave that there.
What's important is that I said we persuaded the board. I have consistently owned up to this transaction. At no stage, and Advocate Vanara asked me many questions on the transaction of the 11th of 2016. I own it.
Let me ask you something,
I
Mr. Coker.
You
signed it, you owning it. Okay. Do you not think it's concerning for South Africans, given the fact that we know about state capture, we know about the Gupta family, we know about Duduzani Zuma, we know about President Zuma, putting pressure on members of the board. And you say you haven't been pressurized, that's what you're testifying, and you're a very rare member of the board then. Knowing who owned Tegeta, did you not stop and think perhaps this is something that's going to cause a great deal of uncertainty in the markets, it's going to cause a great deal of uncertainty for the economy of South Africa, and maybe we should look at something that, you know, why is this, you know, these specific names coming up in Transnet, Eskom, Denel. Do you not step back and say, you know, I have an issue with this?
You see, I had nothing before me to suggest that there's an element of criminality. I have nothing before me to suggest an improper conduct. If I had something to that effect, I would have done exactly what you're asking me.
But Mr. Coco, state capture has been a real and investigated and spoken about thing for the last 3 years. So unless, with respect, you living in a coal mine, you could not have known about state capture. You must have known it was happening. You must have heard people talking about it. You must have heard people saying Eskom was involved.
Your reference on state capture when you started was the public protector report. And that happened before 11th of April 2016. I'm not sure you will reach the same conclusion when you did not have the benefit of that document.
Well, Mr. Coco, you see, you're wrong, because I'm one of the people that asked the public protector to investigate state capture because of what I saw going on at Eskom. But let's leave that at that. Now, I want to say I'm very jealous that you and your family went on holiday in Bali. It's my favorite place, and I enjoy going on holiday in Bali. Very jealous about that. Now, when you came back, you told us that your three daughters went to Doha, and your son and your wife and yourself went to Dubai.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, you see, this concerns me a little bit, because, and it's in the Gupta leaked emails, and it's in the public domain, and when you finish tonight, I know that you're a very active Twitterati. Go and have a look on Twitter. The account for your stay and details of your stay have been made public. And what it does show is that Mr. Ashutwala was also in Dubai for that one day with you. He was staying in the hotel with you. And the email actually shows that your bookings were done together. And they were done through Sahara Computer. And your reservation number was 467415. You arrived on the 4th of January at 5:55 a.m., and you arrived on flight EK399. And it shows your departure being the 5th of January 2016, leaving Dubai to come back to South Africa, the same time as Mr. Ashutwala. Now, I don't understand, was this like the most unbelievable coincidence? Because why would Mr. Twala be booking your hotel for you? Like, are you that close that you say to him, okay, listen, you're booking your hotel, don't you just want to book mine as well? And it goes so far as the detailed breakdown of your invoice actually shows that you had a guest with you who paid an extra 275 dirham above your room price. So I have no doubt that your wife was there, because it shows that there was an extra person with you. But why was your booking done through Sahara?
I can tell you I did not meet Chola in Dubai. She did not book for me. We did the bookings. If you have a chance, and I think it's easily done, contact the hotel.
But I've got the email from the hotel. That's one of the things. From the hotel is on the Oberoi Hotel letterhead.
I've not seen it.
All right, well, if when you go on Twitter later, yeah, we'll have a look on this. To the point, Mr. Coco, I even know that your chauffeur's name, who fetched you from the airport and took you to the hotel, was Mr. Mehboob. Yeah. It goes on to tell you who your chauffeur is.
I would like to see that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, you see, these things are incredibly painful for South Africans to see, because it paints a picture for us of a massive conspiracy right under our noses. And I think it's important that you understand why there is this massive, massive concern. Mr. Coco, your email address, machelia2010@yahoo.com. That's your email address. Not your Eskom email address, your personal email address.
machelia2010@yahoo.com was my email address, which was discontinued by Yahoo, and the reason given is that there was an illegal or unauthorized activity on it, and it discontinued. It later became active and became discontinued again. So
Okay, well, let me tell you, while it was active, a few interesting, maybe disturbing things happened. On the 4th of November 2015, at 22:39, an email left MichelleCoco2010.com, and it went to the DG of Public Enterprises, who had a private email address, an Infopol email address. And it said, please give to the boss, the fight begins. And that email was then forwarded from the DG of Public Enterprises to wdrsa@gmail.com and Ashu Chwala. So now we know Ashu Chwala is from Sahara, but this WDRSA, who was that? So we've now found out that it's actually Rajesh Gupta, otherwise known as Tony Gupta. Now that concerns me tremendously, because who are we calling the boss and what fight is on? And these are in the public domain, eh? They're everywhere at the moment, on Twitter, on Gupta links, on media, they're everywhere.
I have never sent an email to DG David Selig. Never done that.
Did you ever send an email to someone perhaps called Businessman?
Not at all.
Because that's the alias that's used for Mr. Selecki on his email. You know how, like, my email, if you send it to me, when I send it to you, it says Tasha. His comes up as Businessman, so maybe Businessman rings a bell.
No.
So these emails that have come from your email address, are you thinking that these were created to put you in a bad light?
I'm saying I've had many visions about those emails.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a way to verify them, and they must be verified.
Okay, I think in actual fact that's exactly what's happening as we speak, because I was very honest with Mr. Singh last night, and I'm going to be very honest with you. I've pired these documents to be forensically audited, because I think we need to know for sure that these are legitimate email addresses, and as the Public Enterprises Committee, we certainly do need to know that. Now, in 2015, you were in Dubai in December. Now, we know this. We know this to be fact. Mr. Singh was also in Dubai.
Oh, right, in 2015.
Not in Dubai.
2015?
Yeah.
I was not in Dubai.
So when I get the pious documents from Home Affairs as to who entered and exited the country...
I will give you my passport. You don't need to go to Home Affairs.
No, I'm going to go to Home Affairs, because passports, you know, they're easily duplicated. I need to know from Home Affairs.
I was not in Dubai in 2015.
All right, so let me tell you what's alleged. It's alleged that Minister Dwane joined the Guptas in Switzerland for the sale of Glencore's Optimum mine to Tegeta. Other Gupta allies, in the meantime, were in Dubai at the Gupta's expense, including Mr. Machele Koko and Mr. Singh.
I was not in Dubai in 2015. You just mentioned... I confirm I was in Dubai in January 3rd or 5th. I was not in Dubai December 2015.
So perhaps the dating here, because they've got a block where it goes 2015 to 2016, perhaps the block is wrong.
That's why we have to look at the document you have.
At the right,
there,
fair
there's
enough.
Perhaps it's...
So when you were there, did you see Mr. Singh by any chance?
Not at all.
Not at all?
No.
So it's maybe they're right. Maybe Dubai has become the heart of the world, that we fly in and out of Dubai all the time and we miss each other, even though we're in the same hotel. Now, this carte blanche issue is worrying me. And it's worrying me for various reasons. The biggest reason is this. I didn't hear Ms. Devi Sankari Govinda once referred to Oak Bay when she said to you the prepayment was done to Oak Bay. She said the prepayment was done to Tegeta. So
she did not say that.
Well, I've just got the transcript from carte blanche, And even the transcript says together.
We just listened to it. She asked me 3 times. That's why I asked to be played.
All right. So let's say, for example, that she said Oak Bay.
Optimum.
Optimum, rather. I have in front of me the front page of the coal supply agreement, and it states as follows. Coal supply agreement in respect for coal from Optimum Colliery entered into by Eskom Holding and Tegeta Exploration.
I need to see that. We have no contract with Optimum.
So where do these documents come from? Who's creating these documents?
I've read for you the affidavit. The affidavit of Pierre Marsden. He says, we confirm that the prepayment was not made to OCM. In this committee, Pierre Marsden says, we were certainly in control of Optimum Coal Mine. Optimum Mine did not receive the 586 prepayment. And I agree with that version. It's the right version.
I don't agree with that version because I have a contract in front of me that says coal supply agreement in respect of coal from Optimum Colliery entered into between Eskom Holdings and Tegeta Exploration and Resources. So we're going to have to agree to disagree on this because we clearly are looking at two different documents. And I've got to tell you, I think I trust my source more than I trust your source.
Unless you say the business practitioner lied, and I don't think she did. He did not lie. He told you the truth. He told this committee the truth.
So, why would this contract even be in existence? Would someone now purposely go to Eskom and sit behind an Eskom computer and type up a document just for the sake of causing trouble?
So you see, I did the document to the board for the prepayment. I know what I submitted. The document that I submitted says prepay together.
Chair, time? 8 minutes, great. Mr. Coco, you have to forgive me, and I'm going to be a little bit personal, but I'm happy to tell you mine if you tell me yours. That's what's fair is fair. How much do you earn from Eskom? Sorry, will you just on record?
3.5 million.
And you've been on special leave and suspension for some time now. Have you been paid during that period?
Yes. I was suspended without prejudice.
Okay. Suspended without privileges, but you still got your salary?
Yes.
Okay. Who pays your legal accounts?
I do.
They must be amounting to a lot of money by now.
They're not cheap.
They're not cheap. We're all in the wrong field.
Yes.
Mr. Coco, have you ever appointed a legal firm to represent you in your personal capacity that has also been appointed to represent you in Eskom in a disciplinary hearing?
Come again?
Have you ever appointed a legal firm to represent you in your personal capacity who has also been appointed by Eskom to either investigate you or to run a disciplinary hearing against you?
No, you're referring to CDH?
I'm not referring to anyone. I'm asking in any circumstance.
No,
never. Mr. Coco, you go on holiday with your family, means you're a family man. I'm a family girl too. I go on holiday with my family. And certainly when we're on holiday, we discuss dreams, aspirations, where we want to be in 10 years. And I think we had a lot in common when I found out you had a stepdaughter and I also got a stepdaughter. And I know what she's going to study next year.
I have 3 stepdaughters.
How many? 3. Good luck. 3 stepdaughters. Wow. Now, one of your stepdaughters gets involved with a company that gets a massive contract from Eskom. Massive. It's obscene. Are you really telling the South African public that we must believe that you didn't know that she was involved?
You see, when I was disciplined and the Chiso Black Star went to court to insist that the media be allowed and the public be allowed. I was advised, and I took her advice, that allow the media to come in, allow the press to come in, let them report.
So until one of them goes punched.
I'm not aware of that. Let them report. And the reason I did that is because I expected questions like you are posing. I wrote a letter to BLSA, and I wrote a letter to NUMSA. I said, stop saying my hearing was a sham.
I also said your hearing was a sham.
If you do, I'm happy to make the documents available to you. And if you're still unhappy, take it for review. I think it's fair. If you think what I said is under oath in evidence is unbelievable and outcome should have been different, I think it's only fair that you take it for review.
All right, well, then I'm very glad that I did take it on review, because I like it when we're on common understanding, and that's exactly why I did go and lodge charges because of that hearing.
Yeah, you laid charges, you didn't take it for review.
Well, late charges. I think that's a little bit more serious.
Those are two different.
Yeah. Mr. Coco, our time is up, and the chair's looking at me. But I do want to say this. We had Mr. Singh here last night, who was a technical genius. Absolute genius. And you've come here tonight, and I think that you are not taking responsibility for a lot of things that have gone wrong. And it reminds me a little bit of a children's program on TV called Pinky and the Brain. And what they are two characters who continuously try and take over the world. And when they don't get it right, the one blames the other. But I'd like to say that you need to go and watch the evidence given by Mr. Singh last night very seriously, because you were thrown under the bus in a very big way. The Buddha once taught that ego is like dust in the eye. Without clearing the dust, you can't see anything clearly. So clear the ego, and the world becomes in front of you. Mr. Coco, I put it to you that you are trying to create the illusion to this committee that you are the new liberation struggle hero against state capture. I do not think you did a good job, and I am brave enough to say it to you here, and here I'm underprivileged, but I will say it to you outside where I'm not underprivileged. I don't think that you managed the ESCOM out of a state of emergency, as you said. I've actually got to the point where I think load shedding could possibly have been a created illusion, which was the first enabler of state capture. So when you leave here tonight, I want you to know that you haven't pulled the wool over the eyes of this committee, and we are still interrogating every piece of document that continues to come into us daily, and there are serious problems at ESCOM for which you should owe up to. And I strongly urge you to do what your colleagues did and do the right thing and resign. No further questions, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mazone. That was a comment that she is, or a wrapping up a statement that she's giving. I don't think she needed an answer to it. Honourable Kungubel.
Thank you, Chair. Shall I say good evening, Mr. I think the great philosophers, I'm sure you would have come across this, because I have a sense that you're highly educated, would have said that you can have your opinion, not your facts. Do you agree with
me? I'm entitled to my opinion, but we can't have a dispute of facts.
Yes. No. I'm entitled to your opinion, not to your facts. My late brother would have said, you can't change facts. You can only learn from them. Nothing else. But however, I hope for the first time in this interview, I'm not going to be long, as notorious as I am. What role did you play in the 1.6 billion currently of December 2015? Actually, there are two questions. What is the object of that currently, and what role did you
play? I took the committee through my interactions with the business rescue practitioners around the first and the second and the fourth of December 2015.
Can you share with the committee what came out of those meetings?
I said to the committee that on around the second, I was advised by the business rescue practitioners and the representative of Optimum. And you see in my submission, I say at least one of them, I said either or, because I don't recall who exactly, whether it was their CFO or it was their director. And they said, we're taking Optimum out of business rescue. We will meet your 2018 end of contract, and we'll deliver it at 150 rands per ton.
150?
Yes. Now, that is what we've been looking for.
Yes.
And it was quite exciting.
Yes.
Until I received a letter from the lawyers of the business rescue practitioners. And in that letter, they're saying you are not guaranteed coal beyond 31st of January 2016. Now, that's different to what I was told. On the 4th of December, which was a Friday, the business rescue practitioners published a status report. In that status report,
how did they publish it?
It came to me by the email, so I don't know how they published. I received it by the email on Friday.
Well, why did you say they published it? What would make you to reach a conclusion that it's being published when you get it through your email?
It was not the first of the report of such of that type, and I've never queried it. I've never queried it.
What was published?
It corresponded with a letter from the business rescue practitioner, from the lawyers, that coal is only guaranteed up until the 31st of January.
Did you meet Glencore and the business practitioner on the 1st of December?
That's why I'm saying on around the second.
I'm being specific.
Well, I don't recall if I knew it, I would have given you that date.
Is it correct that three things emerged in that meeting? One, that they would pursue the contract to the end. This extension is at your discretion. Do you agree with that? Is it one of the things that was an understanding in that meeting?
No. The extension of Korenfontein.
Remember, yes.
Korenfontein
was at your discretion.
Yeah, not Optimum.
Was at your discretion.
Correct.
You were meeting the business rescue, not so?
The business rescue.
With Optimum.
With Optimum.
Yes.
Yes.
By the way, Korenfontein is part of their mine, is that correct?
It's part of the Optimum holding.
Yes. Yeah. So there was an agreement there that...
There was an agreement that was expiring.
There was an understanding that they will no longer pursue the extension of the contract. Am I correct?
Which contract?
Korenfontein. There was no such understanding.
No. They wanted it.
But in that meeting, the 1st of December, anyway, there's no disagreement between what you've just said now.
Yeah.
Because you said they would pass with their contract until the until 2021.
Yes. 2023.
Yes.
No, 2018, not 2020.
Yes, 2018. They were no longer, they were not asking for an extension.
Yes, up to 2020.
So there was no material difference between the two.
No.
Are we together?
No.
Yeah, so we're saying the same thing. Fine. Two, that they are no longer pursuing the wavering of the penalty. Was that the understanding in that meeting?
No, that they will follow the contract resolution.
No, no, no. They are no longer going to ask you as ESCOM to waiver.
No.
They will follow the normal process.
Yes. The normal contract process. They will follow the contract to resolve the dispute.
Yes. And they will supply the coal at 150 rand per ton.
Yes.
Those three elements, is it an understanding you were happy between yourself as parties?
Is it what?
Those three elements, did they constitute an understanding between yourselves and as parties in that meeting?
We had an understanding as parties, and like I said, let me say it again, you're rephrasing it, and I'm not sure if we looked at it. It was quite simple.
I'm not going to use your words. What is key? What is key is if we're saying the same thing, you may say, you may use different words, but what is key in communication whether we're saying the same thing? So let's not worry about who is phrase what. Unless I'm saying something different. I'm saying the three things we've agreed upon are the three things that emerged in that meeting. Am I correct?
Well, I'm struggling. I want to make sure that when I say it's correct, it's indeed what I understand.
Let me repeat.
Yes.
Because you're eating on my time now, just now. I'm saying in that meeting, remember the problem was the penalty before that meeting. Am I correct?
Correct.
But in that meeting they said they are no longer going to pester. Forget the language I'm using. They will follow the normal process of arbitration, whatever you call it.
Exactly.
Right. That is one. And they will supply the coal at 150 rand per ton. Is that correct?
Correct.
Which you were happy about.
Exactly.
All right? And they will pester their contract up until it's normal, for its normal to call period.
Correct.
Is that correct? And I'm saying those three things constituted an understanding that was acceptable between yourselves in that meeting. That's what I'm asking.
Okay.
After that, what are the basis of the letter that you wrote to
DMR?
To DMR, calling for intervention?
Because the lawyer's letter for representing the business rescue practitioners and their status report say the same thing that is different to the three things you've listed. And that creates a crisis for us.
Why don't you refer to that lawyer's letter in the letter you're writing to DMR?
I don't, I have no reason to do that. I don't know why
you're saying the reason after this good understanding.
I do.
Allow me to finish. The reason after this good understanding which made you to write a letter to DMR is because of the lawyer's letter. Now I'm asking a simple question. Why are you not referring it in your letter that you're writing to DMR?
The DMR letter says we will not have coal by the end of January, which is what the lawyer's letter says.
You want me to read the letter?
Yes, please.
I hope you're not straining my eyes. God. Yes. It starts here. Dear Coco. No, not this one. Here's the letter from Coco. His own letter, this one.
As you may be aware, Eskom has been involved in the legal wrangle with the above supplier from August this year. This is Optimum Coal, by the way. That's just the entitled. In rather dramatic fashion, the company was placed under business rescue and Eskom faced with intermittent veiled threats of liquidation, while at the same time the business rescue practitioners purportedly sought constructive engagement between the parties. From Eskom's perspective, it is expected that Glencore operation, Optimum Coal Mine, would enjoy far more support than the conditional funding for the limited time period that were on offer. Optimum supplies one of Eskom's key contributors to the national power system at Hedrina Power Station and is a stalwart in the Eskom fleet, supplying approximately 2,000 megawatts to the national grid. Glencore was fully aware of the dynamics and history relating to the nature of the coal supply agreement and its structure when it concluded the sale with its previous owners. At the latest meeting of the parties, the business rescue practitioners, together with Glencore representatives, indicated that Optimum is being rescued and that it would honour the contract in its current form with no amendments. They further advised that they would follow the contracting route to process their escrow.
I hope you're listening, sir.
And this is quite important. They advised that they would further follow the contract route to process Eskom claim of 2.2 billion South African rand. That made it very clear that they are not insisting on the extension of the Kooifontein coal supply contract with Eskom. They insisted that the extension of the Kooifontein coal supply contract is at the discretion of Eskom. Eskom is perplexed by the about turn given the events of the past few months and this blatant disregard Optimum displays for the impact that threatens the liquidation and precious balance of electricity security and commercial viability. As a Glencore operation, Optimum surely cannot be perceived to be acting in the national interest.
Proceed. Cool down. Let's do it. Yes.
There we go.
Yeah.
In parallel, you are aware that we have similar challenges at the Arnott Power Station. The current contract with Exxaro Resources expires on the 31st of December 2015 and we are discussing the winding down of operations with Exxaro herein. While Eskom has issued a request for proposals to the open market, the tender submissions indicate that we will not have sufficient volumes to meet the requirement for Arnott. Based on previous tests, Eskom can confirm that the coal qualities at Optimum are suitable for Arnott's burn requirements and will pass the necessary combustion tests. Based on Optimum's current mine plans, they should be sufficient for both power stations. Therefore, Optimum becomes a highly sought-after source for Arnott as well. I would put it to you that the Komati Power Station receives 180,000 tons per month of coal from the Kooifontein mine, a subsidiary of Optimum Coal Holdings. This contract expires at the end of January 2016. As a result of the rescue proceedings, this power station is also at risk come the end of January 2016. As the date of this letter, we have not yet received the formal notification of the status of Optimum. While Eskom fully appreciates the turnaround of the business, it remains concerned that the erratic display of business stability may compromise the security of supply to Hedrina Power Station in the short to medium term. Therefore, Eskom would require a firm resolution of Optimum by mid-December 2015. The risk of security supply for the Hedrina Power Station, Komati Power Station and Arnott Power Station is of such key national interest that we thought it be appropriate to bring to your attention. The upcoming adversity facing Eskom will require some form of intervention on the part of the Department of Mineral Resources to assist Eskom in leveraging the necessary key authorities to assist in assuring resolution of the coal supply situation and certainty going forward. I request your assistance in this regard and should you require any information, please do not hesitate to contact me. Sincerely yours, Group CEO Generation, Mashele Kok.
What's the problem with that?
And that's the point. I'm saying
I'm listening.
The two letters says we will not have coal by the end of January.
Where are you
based? I'm basing it on the two letters I referred to.
But the letters are not being referred in the letter here. All what you're saying here, this contract ends on the 2016 not to call. January. You can read your letter, sir. You are not referring to a letter. that comes from the lawyers of what to call, of Glencore, whatever. All what you're saying, this contract ends January 2016. You are not referring to, that's the point I'm making to you. You are not referring to the letter because, put it this way, you had a session with them. You are saying all the positive things about them. And now, out of the blue in this thing, you are saying this contract ends January 16th. And you're not explaining, look at it this way. You are telling the DMR about the good meeting you had. Somewhere towards the end, you're saying the contract ends January. You're not explaining why. Because this, what you are saying, is not articulated in this letter. So, can you explain?
Well, it communicates exactly what I want to communicate.
But you understand the issue?
I want to communicate.
No, wait a minute. Do you understand? It undermined the, how do I put this? If you say you had this good meeting with Optimum and Glencore, and you are praising their suitability of their code, and their turnaround, which seems to make you happy, now you are worried that their contract ends. Remember, they in a meeting with you, that's exactly the point. In a meeting with you, they agreed to pursue their contract until 2018. Am I correct? Yes. Now, you are saying in the letter, this contract is going to end January 2016. Surely, don't you think I would ask you, if you are writing this letter to me, where do you base this? Would that not be the first answer? Question? Where do you base? This letter is coming for me to act on it as DMR. Having got the story, I'm reading it down, you're saying end of January now, when you said it at all, they have agreed with you. And then out of this sentence is a loose sentence which seems not to be connected to anything in your letter. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't connect with any context.
But it's correct.
Why do you say it's correct?
It is correct that we did not have guarantees for coal beyond January. It's correct, it's a fact.
Listen, Daddy Gogo. You say you met with these guys on the 1st of December.
Yes.
And they said they are going to pursue the contract until 2018. And this, what you're articulating is based on your interaction. What the outcome of your interaction with them. You are saying it in the letter. The outcome of your interaction with them says the contract is going to be pursued until 2018. Now, this 2016 is not articulated that is out of an interaction with who? Don't you think it bears the...
Well, I'm sure DMR may have...
Calls for clarification.
I'm sure DMR may have asked that, but all what I'm saying is...
No, but in your own... You're an intelligent man.
No, but I had source documents.
No. If you receive this letter with this kind of story, how would you understand that sentence in this letter?
If I receive the document, I'll ask. The difference this time is that I am communicating it, and I have the source document.
No, wait a minute. I'm not asking what you're communicating. I'm saying if you were to receive a reasonable recipient of this letter, wouldn't you ask where this sentence comes from in the context of this letter?
Honorable Kungwelo, you have a one state-owned company communicating to another organ of state.
But I'm asking a simple question. If you can say no, simple. Let's not argue this. I'm saying, if you were a recipient of this letter with the context articulated in it, you have this sentence which seems not to be attached to anything. Looking at the context of the letter, wouldn't you ask where does this sentence come from?
No, let me tell you what I will do.
No, I'm asking a question. Say no if you say no.
No, I can't say that. I'm saying to you...
Wouldn't you ask this question?
If it comes from an authorized person...
Wouldn't you ask this question?
If it comes from an authorized person, no, I would not.
Wouldn't this be funny?
If it comes from an authorized person, I would not.
So, in other words, in other words, senseless things that come from authorized people, you don't seek clarification.
That's not senseless.
This is senseless? In the context of this letter?
On Dolgun, where it's not senseless.
No. You are being... Listen, that's how you view it. Anyway, let me put it this way. I put it to you. that in the context of this letter, that sentence has got no basis. You have a duty when you write to DMR to explain where this sentence comes from. Because everything else except that sentence, its origin is articulated. Everything that is written here in this letter, and there's a context, only this sentence which cannot be explained where it comes from. Let's go to the letter that comes from DMR. Can you read this one? From DMR. So that we can talk about that. You got it? DMR. Full letter. Yeah. Oh. Let's read the letter from DMR. Dear Mr. Cook, Optimum Coal Mine, that's the subject. Power supply to Henrietta Power Station. Receipt of your letter addressed to the department pertaining to the intervention required from the department refers. Having regard to the above, we would like to advise as follows. In respect of Henrietta Power Station, the department will prioritize and fast-track approvals for transfer of mining rights. It's from DMR now. On an urgent basis, should this be lodged, we've already requested an urgent meeting with the Competition Commission to go and plead the case and explain the urgency with which it must be treated, as it indeed is a special case given the consequences for our country. Financial provision due to historical liabilities at OACH level is estimated at 1.7 billion. The amount still has to be confirmed through a process which will involve the parties concerned. We would also request for ESCOM to play an active role in providing support for the project to proceed. In return, listen to this, in return for the new owners honoring the current contract up to 2018 and for driving them, we would like to propose that a consideration be made for some prepayment to be made for up to one. Now, this is a communication between yourself and DMR. Do you recognize this letter? Right. Prepayment to be made upon one. 1 year of coal supply, understanding the upfront capital injection to be made to ramp up production to meet coal supply requirements from these mines. We firmly believe that every possible angle must be considered and offered to ensure that supply is guaranteed at the contracted price for all these critical mines, thereby averting a national crisis that we suffer from. How do you understand this letter? It was written, I'm sure you read it, it was meant for your, it was responding to your letter. What did this letter mean to you from DMR?
That they will do whatever they can when approached to get the necessary approvals. But because we have said to them, and rightfully so, that we have a security risk crisis, I have suggested in that letter.
Is your meaningless sentence?
My sentence is not meaningless.
Okay, proceed.
It's not meaningless. And this is, yeah, my...
My time, Mr. Cook. Let's put it this way. The guarantee of 1.6 billion, did it come before these letters or after these letters?
Came after the letter.
So you see the bridge, which led to
the optimum mine being taken by a together. The point I'm trying to make to you, this letter you wrote to, what is contained in the letter that you write to DMR does not constitute a basis, in my view, for the guarantee in December. You disagree?
No, I disagree.
Why? You disagree. Because if in terms of this letter, Glencore with Optimum said to you, we pursue the contract until 2018, We are going to pursue the penalty differently in the normal process. We are no longer calling for extension of contract and whatever. We are going to offer coal 150 rand per ton. Now, here, this guarantee that ends up with Tegeta owning Optimum, what is the legitimate ground that actually, which is constituted for this outcome?
Honorable Kungubele, my letter to DMR clearly says, as of the date of this letter, I have not received a confirmation in writing from the business rescue practitioners that Optimum will be out of business rescue. So you cannot proceed on the basis...
What is your letter saying?
That as of the date of that letter, 7-6, I think, we have not received anything in writing from the business rescue practitioners that the business will be out of business rescue. So you cannot proceed on the basis that Optimum is out of business rescue. I've asked for it in writing. I did not receive it. So you putting it to me, that because they told me...
When you didn't get when you didn't receive what you expected from Optimum, what did you do? Because hardly 4 days from the 1st of December, what did you do when you didn't receive? Because 6th December...
From the 1st of December...
Quick.
No, it's not quick. We had constant...
That which you expected, what did you do?
But we had constant communication. There was no broken line.
What did communication say?
Give me in writing what you told me in my meeting.
Where is the letter of the lawyers of the business rescue?
Want me to read?
Yes.
We can now confirm the supply arrangement until 31 January 2016.
Whose letter?
It's a Werksmann's letter.
Huh?
It's a Werksmann attorney's letter. It's a lawyer representing the business rescue practitioners.
To the letter, where master here?
Honorable Kungubele.
Lawyers.
Andrew Gubile.
No, I'm asking a question.
Is
it not ESCOM lawyers?
It is.
So, this letter, I'm trying to check where does it come from. Maybe help
it,
me.
It comes from Werksmann Attorneys.
It comes from Werksmann and it's delivered to Cliff Decker.
Yes, it comes from the lawyers of the...
Of Werksmann Attorneys. Is there attorneys. Yes. Okay, then let's read it.
We can now confirm that the supply arrangement until 31 January 2016.
What was the letter dated 27 say?
What is going to happen with the coal supply? Can you guarantee us coal supply?
Okay. But why then was this not referred to in this letter?
I'm saying, and this is my point, that we came back to it. when we said resolve by the end of December, it's because it will give us certainty for the 31st of January. It's a statement of fact. I just don't understand.
You know, what is questionable, this is my submission. I find it interesting that TMR, in response to you, because none of these things you're asking for, in response to you, they speak about transfer of rights, they speak about prepayment, and lastly, in the letter you prepare, you speak about the Malden having made a proposal. Let's go to that quickly. There's a letter by, I don't know what's your view on it, by, who's the chap? Anup Singh. His submission. I think this is my last that I'm going to now.
Honorable Kongubele, your last is taking time from others. Oh. And you'll be quick.
Oh, you. Sorry.
Because you have taken Mr. Swart's time now.
Now, this is my last. I'm sorry about this. On the guarantee, the submission you prepared in the S3, which is the attachment of Anuj Singh, you are there asserting that Malden made a proposal. This Malden would argue that they never made a prepayment proposal. Well, your submission, according to 2.2.2 in Anuj Singh, seems to suggest that. Lastly, Malden would argue again in 3.4.2 that your suspensive conditions, whose role player is BRP, whose role player is OCM, they have no knowledge of those. Your last comment?
I don't know what you're reading. I don't know what you're reading. I don't know
you
what
you prepared a submission, did you? For guarantee?
Yes. So which document are you reading? You say Marston.
Yes. What did it say about
Marston?
What did it say about the commitment of BRP on the prepayment proposal?
BRP?
Business Rescue Thank Partner. You. What did they say about the prepayment?
I think you have to lead me to it because I don't know what to know.
No, it's okay. Let me leave for others.
Thank you, Honorable Kongubele. I think Mr. Koko, when he finds time, he will look at the Marston letter and prepare you an answer. Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Koko, for your input. Your statement does help us to have a deeper understanding, and it does allow you to answer certain allegations that have been made against you. I'd like to deal with a few issues. The first of all is that you seem to have quite a defense of Tegeta, and you made a statement that whenever Tegeta is raised, there is something around it. And that's fair enough. There's no problem with that. But do you accept the public protector's interim finding that the Eskom board leant over backwards to accommodate Tegeta? I'm not saying you necessarily, but when you look at the whole picture now with hindsight and all the evidence that's been led, what we've been saying, in my view, the conclusion is inescapable that Eskom did lean over backwards to accommodate Tegeta.
Honorable Swart, I hold no brief for Tegeta. my suggestion was that on issues that are supposed to be common cause, that are supposed to be straightforward, because as together we tend to lose objectivity. That's all what I meant. But I hold no belief for together.
Thank you for that. And I accept that other Mayans, Glencore, they are not angels. They also, in the negotiations and in the history, they would be tough businessmen. But I want to take you to the commendable action that you took on the 31st of August 2015 when you suspended the Brakfontein license because of non-compliance. And if one reads the history, you'll see that that was the start. Or let's put it that way, the Brakfontein mine was the first input from Gupta-related companies to get involved in the mining industry, and what we would say was the start of the capture of Eskom. There was a lot of concerns about the quality, and that's why they weren't getting contracts from the word go, and there was a blocking. And it seems from documentation that the pressure was increasing. Eventually, a contract was given. But again, there was a problem with the standard of the coal that was being produced. And you, on the 31st of August, suspended that license on the basis of scientific evidence. That suspension lasted until the 5th or the 6th of September, and I understand that your own experts, or you, someone sent the coal to a separate laboratory, and then it was suddenly found to be acceptable. Could you explain that process, please? Briefly, I'm sorry I need to be brief because we've got quite a lot and I don't want to be unfair to you or rude to you.
At the phase of it, we had coal quality problems. At the phase of it.
At the beginning, at the
phase. At the phase of it.
Yes.
The complaints were there.
Yes.
I could have ignored the complaints. But
I'm sorry.
Okay. But I thought it would be unreasonable not to do anything. So I suspended them. Because I was told 50% of the stockpiles are not compliant. That's a serious number. So I suspended them. We took samples under supervision. We prepared the sample. We sent them to SABS. And when they returned, they were compliant on sulfur. Now, that puts the matter to bed, at least in the short term, because it tells me what I'm dealing with.
Why would you send it to SABS and not your own scientists and your in-house scientists with many years' experience?
There was a very valid reason, which is embarrassing, because our laboratories at the time were not accredited by SANAS.
By
SANAS.
But they've always been used for the accreditation of coal.
No,
to be used in the power stations.
No, sir. At the time, our research laboratory was under refurbishment and was moved to Komati Power Station and was not accredited.
But you still had internal scientists that you were using.
Well, having scientists and having laboratories are two different things. You accredit a laboratory, and the laboratories were not accredited. That's why we went to a national laboratory as accredited.
Before that, though, you relied on, when the complaints came, surely there were scientific reports.
No, we employ laboratories. We employ external laboratories to do the analysis.
And those analysis said the coal was not acceptable?
Those analysis said the coal was not acceptable.
But then you sent it to the SABS and they came back and said it was acceptable?
Correct.
And then you suspended all your internal scientists, is that correct?
Four, not all.
Well, four.
Yes.
What their names? Doctor?
Dr. Mark von Arid, I forgot the other.
Charlotte Ramavola.
Charlotte. Yes.
And two others?
Yes.
What was the reason for their suspension?
It's because the samples were obviously wrong. There was a...
No, but not necessarily. You see, does that not play into the narrative that you were trying to assist or that someone at Eskom is trying to assist the Gupta-related company.
No.
Can I just assist you? My time is limited. If you were so convinced that they were wrong, why has no disciplinary action been instituted to them till today?
I'm out of the system.
No, but that's not a good enough. That's not a good enough. You suspended them at that stage. Why didn't you insist that there should be a disciplinary action?
How do I do it?
At that stage, when you suspended them, you can't say now. Have you inquired at all? You've been in and out of the system.
At that stage, we did not waste time.
No, nothing was done. No charges have been drafted. 2 years. People's careers have been affected by that. Is that not a concern to you?
It's a concern for me, but I'm saying in my time, at that time.
I'm sorry. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. You are a director, and you should have taken grade because these are people's careers that are at stake. People with long-standing careers and new people that were involved, Ms. Ramovana, new persons that are involved, and their whole careers have been destroyed. And they're sitting at home at the moment. So that's not acceptable. But let's just continue. Because what I'm trying to explain to you is there are various role players. And everyone comes here and says they had no role and there's no problem with Tegeta. State capture didn't exist. But each one of you played a role in facilitating the Gupta taking over of large coal contracts at Eskom. So let's take the document that you showed us about the end of December when suddenly there was this problem at Arnott power stations. You yourself conceded that this was the one contract was a 40-year contract that was coming to an end and should have been considered that there was going to be a supply problem. That was the one contract, and we understand that one of the reasons why Eskom did not accept that contract was that it was too costly. 1,000, is that correct? Too costly.
That's correct.
But there was a second honored contract, and you watched last night. Did you watch our interaction with Mr. Anand Singh?
I missed that now.
I raised it with him, the second honored contract. The Mafube contract. Are you aware of the Mafube contract?
I don't know the details of it, but
Just help you. It's a joint venture between Exxaro and Anglo American. It mines coal just north of the N12 highway, supplies it via a long conveyor belt system. So there's no transport costs to Arnott. Now the Denton's report showed that in July 2015, Mafube produced the cheapest coal on Eskom's books. Cheaper than the 150 at Hendrina, it was 132 rand per ton. 132, the cheapest. It had delivered since 2004 1.18 million tons per year to Arnott. The contract was until the end of 2023. There is enough coal. 2023. Exxaro spokesman Mr. Mazila Metenjane says, quote, the contract came to an end. Eskom decided to terminate the Mafube supply agreement. And this is what I've been wondering the whole time. I could not understand how Tegeta took take over Optimum, which was a loss-making mine, at 150 rand per kilogram per ton to Hendrina. How were they going to turn that around? The only way was to start sending that coal to Arnott. And that, you said earlier, you dismissed it as a myth with the Just Coal issue. You said that's in litigation. Just Coal, which was another producer to Arnott, their contract was ended, and that's before the courts. But here's another example of coal that was being furnished to Arnott, and it was cancelled. So the emergency was self-created. Eskom shot themselves and produced an environment, an emergency. I'm sorry, do you want to consult or say something to your lawyer? Because I see he's... No, I don't mind. I'm a lawyer myself, so I understand. But what I'm saying to you is the scenario is that the emergency was created by Eskom to ensure that the Gupta-related company Tegeta could send the optimum coal that was supposed for Hendrina to Arnott at a much increased cost, 420. And there was now a transport cost, because what happened the very next day in January, my information is 30-ton coal trucks were running from Optimum Mine to Arnott, 60 kilometers away, when you had Mafube with a conveyor belt system already. 60 kilometers away. So you had your cost plus transport costs now. And then not only that, according to the PwC report, Hendrina, Eskom reduced the required coal quantity to Hendrina. You reduced it. So the whole problem at Hendrina was reduced so that you could use that coal to go to Arnott. Now you will differ from me. I've no doubt you will differ from me. But that is the evidence that South Africa is looking at. That it is undeniable that the Eskom board let over backwards to accommodate Tegeta to obtain optimum, to obtain the coal at Arnott at a much higher price. And your board member, Mr. Pomensky, was so excited at this deal that he sent a letter. And he said, congratulations, mazel tov, to the Gupta-related companies. We've done it. We've achieved it. Because it's a brilliant strategy. But it's criminal. It's corruption. It's corruption. And so, Mr. Corko, it's time. The cards are falling. You've seen. You've been left out. Totally. The political landscape has changed. You have no more protection. It's done. So your meeting with Ms. Daniels at Melrose Arch, where you say you didn't meet with Mr. Salim Issa. His offices are at Melrose Arch. Melrose Arch.
It's late in the evening.
Maybe I meant it. I said Melrose Arch. A bit of levity. But my dear friend, your middle name is Moses. There was a banner outside Parliament that said the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. And we pleaded yesterday with Mr. Anand Singh to come clean. Because this is the first inquiry. This is easy. You're going to face a commission of inquiry. You're going to face criminal action. You're going to find that possibly Mr. Salim Issa himself, as was reported in the city press, will come to us and say he met with you that day. And Mr. Daniel's version is correct. So you understand whether I want time to assist you at this stage. To assist you because you've been left out. At the moment, you don't know what your status is. Mr. Anand Singh resigned yesterday. You have not resigned yet. Are you at work?
I'm at work.
Did you go to work?
Today.
I'm sorry, did you go to work yesterday?
Preparing for this.
I'm sorry?
I was preparing for this hearing.
Did you take an on Monday?
No.
Why not?
Because I was in Cape Town.
Did you get leave?
I'm at work. I'm in Cape Town at work.
Did you get permission to be here?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So, those are the points that I'm trying to assist you with, and I made a lengthy input. Because I do hear what you're saying, and I hear and I accept a lot of your bona fides. But the pressure that has been building up, the pressure, it's undeniable. Let's just look at that prepayment. And I accept what you said about that video, that when, as a lawyer, particularly you were not asked whether a payment was made to Optimum. But I would have explained immediately. The prepayment was made to Tegeta. It's an easy answer. Why would you put yourself through that where everyone says you lied? And I understand your explanation. It's plausible to me. It's semantics. It's semantics. But when you look at the prepayment, and you said it's been done in the past, and the letter that was read to you now from the Department of Mineral Resources encouraging the prepayment, it plays into this narrative. Because we know that the minister was meeting in Switzerland to enforce this whole contract. You're aware of that, that the minister met with Glencore people and that there was pressure?
I have read about it. I'm not aware it's happening.
But that letter, you then write a letter to the department. The department comes back and adds and says, give a prepayment. You never asked for a prepayment in the letter.
I have not. I've read about the minister in Zurich.
Is there any reason why it's not true?
I have no information to make to say yes or no.
Earlier, you also alluded to the meeting with Mr. Gobardi and the previous minister, Ramadlodi. Did you refer to that, or am I... that there was a meeting that took place about the licenses?
I referred to a meeting between Mr. Molefe and Minister Ramadlodi.
And you said it related to him pleading with Mr. Ramadlodi that the licenses should not be suspended. Was that the...
To be unsuspended. They were suspended already.
The version of Mr. Ramadlodi was that they came to him and said, you must suspend all the licenses of Glencore. So we will hear that. It's not for you. You don't have to comment on that. But there's, again, and then he was fired and replaced by Minister Zwani. And Mr. Zwani is then in Switzerland negotiating the deal. And then we see the letter from the department out of nowhere saying, yes, we will do this. 1, 2, 3, 4. The public protector says Tegeta was benefited. There's another letter that says Tegeta was benefited. The prepayment was not for capital expenses, which your 2008 document says you allowed prepayments. You referred to that document, but it says for capital expenses. You said in earlier you had no idea what the money was going to be used for. It was used to buy a mine. Your board member, Ms. Klein, said from the BTC, had she known that, she would never have approved it. So you understand, all the evidence is coming out now. Do you have a response to that?
You have not asked a question. Honorable Chair, I really want to assist the committee. But I think that if the committee wanted to know about Mafube, they would have told me up front.
Excuse me, will you? I'm sorry, sir. My time is limited. You cannot hide behind your documents. You see, the strategy that you are using is to fill so many documents that we've sat for 5 hours going through your documents, and when I raise Mafube, you say, no, I can't answer that. That is unacceptable. That is totally unacceptable, because you raised it in your documents when you said that the Arnott, you tried to explain the Arnott document, and you tried to put a spin on it, but you didn't raise the Mafube issue because it doesn't suit you to raise it. Is that not so?
That's not correct.
Well, I put it to you that it is so, because it doesn't suit your narrative.
I disagree.
Why did you not raise it in your document?
I disagree.
Why did you not put it in your document?
Because that's not true.
What?
That we cancelled Mafube.
But why didn't you...
I can't put the version that's not true in my document.
How can you say it's not true when it's in Exxaro's annual report?
I'm saying...
It's in the Denton's report. Have you read the Denton's report?
I'm saying I cannot put a version that says we've cancelled Mafube to create a demand.
But you didn't cancel the Mafube contract. Is that not correct?
The Mafube contract was cancelled. I don't know the details of that.
It was cancelled.
But I don't know the details why it was cancelled.
Well, how can you not know the details?
Why do you think I should know?
Because you have just alluded to the fact that Arnott was in a significant problem and had to be addressed with the coal. And one of the reasons was the Mafube contract had been cancelled. How can you not know that?
No, I don't.
How can you not know this?
I don't get what you say. I just don't.
The Mafube contract was cancelled at the same time as the other Exxaro contracts were cancelled, which created a problem at Arnott. Of coal supply at Arnott. And it is indicated in the Exxaro's annual report. And it's indicated in the Denton's report. Have you read the Denton's report?
Honorable Swartz, I'm just not following you.
Well, it's very easy not to follow because it doesn't suit your version. It doesn't suit your version. And it doesn't suit the version of a number of witnesses that are coming to say Tegeta was not benefited. Chairperson, thank you. I have no more questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Swart. Honorable Dlamini, it's going to be your turn. Just give me a minute. I just want to correct something with Mr. Koko. Mr. Koko, you are coming to the committee to account on your work that you have done in ESCOM. For you to say you did not prepare something, some other things will come up because they are part of the work that you were doing in ESCOM. So giving a report or accounting, you account on everything, whether it was stipulated in your invitation or it was not. But if it was in your domain, you'll have to respond to it. Whether it is not in your document, you'll have just to respond to it. That's the one thing that I wanted to raise with you. Honorable Shamin.
No, thanks, Chairperson. You know, Mr. Kok, part of the research that we're doing there in the EFF is that for us to be able to run a proper functional state, we need at least minimum 5,000 of highly educated men and women, highly experienced, of high integrity, black women and men. Now, there are people like Brian Molefe, highly educated, highly experienced. There are people like that late Nomgcobo Jiba or something, highly educated, highly experienced. People like yourself, highly educated, highly experienced. You decide that when you're given a responsibility, you go and do wrong things because your intention, you want to impress politicians. You have messed up your name. They say the real value or the real currency between a man and his soul, it's his name. And you have messed up your name, you have embarrassed your family. Because the problem is in your pub. That's what happened. You want to impress politicians. Now you've messed up your name, and there's no coming back. But as my commander-in-chief said, Julius Marema, that it's your own baby, you must feed it Malchapera. Let's feed it Malchapera. Tell me, when did the Gupta's arrive at ESCOM, the Chegacha company? When did they start doing business with ESCOM?
If I stand to be corrected, the contract that I know from Tegeta is 11 March 2015. March.
How did they get it? Was it a pitch? Was it a tender? How did it happen?
All contracts at the time at ESCOM were not on a competitive bid, including this one.
Yeah, but how did it happen? Did they just drive to ESCOM and they were given a contract? How did you take me through the process? How did they get it?
There were negotiations, I think that dates back as far as I remember, 2014.
Between who? Were you part of those negotiations?
No, I wasn't.
When they entered the ESCOM system, were they entering at a level of the big miners like Exxaro and everyone else, or they entered as a junior miner?
I don't know. Anybody that has coal goes and talk to the sourcing people. The junior miner or major miner don't matter, but they would be classified at that point as a junior.
Yeah, but you know what I'm asking. And you must not do that with me. You know what I'm asking. When they entered the system, were they classified as a junior miner or what? That's what I'm asking you.
I think you're putting me to comment on something that I was not part of. I don't know. I found them. I mean, they were there. They were not talking to me. I was not part of the transaction. I was not part of the process. I don't know how the conversations came about and were finalized. I'm unable to comment on the transaction. I have no detail.
But you know the issue of Tegeta and Kutas in this country. It's a issue that has been spoken about every day. And it's one of the reasons that brought you here. It's one of the major companies that it's involved everywhere, just messing up the whole country. So you are saying to me, you did not even go and look at the contract and how did these people get into the system? How were they classified? You just started from where you need
to give them money to go and buy optimum coal. You never went through their contracts, any of their contracts, just to look at them and say, how did they come into the system?
No, I did not do that. I did not do that. The contract is there. It's a valid contract.
But how do you know it's valid?
I have no reason to believe it's not valid.
No, but how do you know it's valid? There are a lot of things that were approved. You guys have spent, you paid trillion capital, and McCain's 1.6 billion, which has been proved now that it's not valid. How do you know it's not valid if you did not see it?
Honorable Lamin, I had no reason to believe it's not valid.
So it is valid?
I have no reason to believe it's not valid.
I'm asking you, is it valid? Say yes or no. Just say yes or no if it's valid or it's not valid.
Where I'm sitting, I have no reason to believe it's not valid.
Right. Let me tell you, the Guptas, they enter the ESCOM system and they're classified as a junior miner. What is your junior miner strategies within ESCOM? What is your junior miner strategy within ESCOM? You've got an ESCOM, you've got a strategy that talks to junior miners in terms of how do they get accepted into the system. Are you aware of that strategy?
I've heard about it. I've heard about it.
So you've never seen that strategy?
The difficulty I have is that you tend to think that everything that is ESCOM is cocoa. That's a difficulty I have. I mean, you asking me for a transaction that's got nothing to do with me, that I've never been part of, and you expect me to be knowledgeable of, I think you've been...
But I'm asking you about a specific company.
I'm saying this company, I have never interacted with it on the transaction. And I don't know why you put me under pressure to respond on what I don't know.
So, all right, let's talk to the junior miner strategies of ESCOM. So you're saying that you don't know?
I never interacted with it.
You were an acting CEO of ESCOM.
Yes.
You released a statement that we supported in terms of transformation.
Yes.
In ESCOM.
Yes.
And that statement, it talked to the issues of saying this is what we expect, and we're fighting Exxaro in the issues of saying you want 51% black ownership and you're not moving, and we supported that yes, that's what should this is what is supposed to be happening at ESCOM. Now you are saying to me you don't know any of that strike. So that statement, what informed you?
We had a policy that we procure 51%. Our procurement spend in ESCOM in all our commodities must be 51%.
Okay.
If that's what you call...
It's fine. Let's not waste time. I'm telling you, in ESCOM, there's a junior miner strategy that says all small miners that enter through the ESCOM system, they must be 51% black-owned. And I'm telling you now that together they came through the back door and they were not even 51% at the time when they entered ESCOM. You can deny it if you want to. That is a problem. Now let's talk to the issue. You mentioned an issue of saying when you arrived at ESCOM, you mentioned it day to day that you stopped load shedding. When was that day when you knew that load shedding has stopped? You gave us a day when Advocate Vanara was asking.
Load shedding stopped in ESCOM on the 8th of August 2015.
Right, 8th August 2015. And then you said you've got surplus up to 5 years that we will have.
We have a surplus. That's correct.
And your tonnage a year, you're using about 120 million tons a year. Is that correct?
It's significantly less. I think it's around 117 now.
Right. Now, 2015, you stop load shedding, you've got a surplus for another 5 years. But there's a company now of the Guptas that only contributes about 5%. And then part of your submission is that you were trying to deal with the issue of the security risk. How do you get the two? That you stop load shedding. You've got 95% of surplus of coal. But this 5% company that contributes 5%, we have to go through all the extremes that you did. You even make prepayment. How are they going to collapse the system? Why did you need them to secure and deal with collapsing of the system? I don't understand that.
That's because that the first
winter peak after load shedding stopped had to be guaranteed that it can be met, and we need to have the coal that we required for the winter of 2016.
So this Gupta company, with 5% in contribution in terms of all the coal that you use, that's the one that you realize that this is a risk into the company is going to create load shedding. Is that what you are telling us?
Again, we're falling back into the ticket part. Nowhere in the Eskom strategy says there's one company that is a do or die. It's one of the companies that we're procuring coal on. Msimbiti is another one. And there are others. The issue I'm making is that there are a lot of buyers, and you single one. I have no issue in you singling one, but I have a problem in
single one. No, because they are thugs. Let's leave that. They are criminals. I'm telling you now. That's why we are attending to them. Now, let's move to 1.6 billion. How did you get 1.6 billion that you needed 1.6 billion? You were trying to give an explanation. Can you give that explanation of the 1.6 billion currently? How did you get to that?
It's a coal that we required for 12 months for Arnott and Hendrina and Komati.
How much are those, what were the projections in terms of the coal on those mines per month? The 3 months you needed coal, you know that for these mines to be sustainable, you need so much coal. How much coal did you need per month? That made you so that you can be able to get to this 1.6 billion.
The Hendrina, the Korenfontein, we said 180,000 a month.
180,000?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's right. That's the Hendrina. I cannot recall what volumes we used for Arnott and Hendrina.
You said three, so you don't know?
Yes, Arnott is Hendrina.
It's
Komati.
Yeah, but I'm asking volumes now. You don't know?
Yeah, I don't know them off my head.
You don't know them by your head? So,
yeah.
The 1.6 billion, so that means you can't explain it to me. Because for you to get to 1.6 billion, you had to take into account in terms of the volumes that you're going to need.
Yes.
That's why you could spread it through a year.
Yes, and the project team did that. And I believe that.
And you don't know, but you came here knowing that you're going to be asking, and it's part of a submission, and you're talking to the 1.6 billion, but you can't break it down and tell us what is happening. How did you get to it? Because you're saying to the honorable member here that let's not ask you about other things. I'm asking you on what is in your letter and your submission, the 1.6 billion. I'm asking you, how did you get to the 1.6 billion? So you did not prepare to come here. Because now we want the breakdown of this 1.6 billion.
I did not prepare for the breakdown of 1.8 billion.
The 1.6 billion, the one that is that talks to prepayments and everything, is the one that you decided that this one, I'm not going to prepare. To 1.6 billion.
You
did not prepare.
I did not prepare the details.
What did you prepare?
And it's quite simple because it was not used.
No. Told you, you must not do that to me. I'm asking you, how did we get 1.6 billion? It's here on the submissions. Let me tell you because you don't know. To show that, that's why I said you are just embarrassing yourself. What you needed on 1.6 billion, the three power stations per month, they use 458,000, I'm telling you, 850,000 a ton. So the money that you needed is 824 million, not 1.6 billion. So already, you were already preempting that you guys were up to no good there at Eskom. Now let's go to the prepayment. You are saying you made the prepayment for, we were buying coal. What was it? Was it for maintenance or what was that 505 million for? 585 million that you paid the contract.
It was to procure 1.25 million tons of coal from Tigeta.
Were you aware that the Guptas were turned down by the bank before you bought set at night? Were you part of the meeting that set at night to approve this 585 million?
No,
you were not there.
No, I was not.
Were you aware that the band dismissed them? No, when they were looking for that money?
No, I was not.
So you are not aware of anything?
No, I was not.
Okay. That's fine. Let's deal with another issue. When did you meet the... or get to know about the business rescue and optimal mind that it needed business rescue? When was that meeting?
I came back on the 20th.
Of what?
Of July 2015. And Optimum was in business rescue on the 5th, on the 4th or 5th of August 2015. And we were not receiving coal at that point. So and that's around that time that I came to know about it.
When you wrote this letter to DMR, Did you notify them that you've tried everything? You are writing a letter to DMR to look for a different intervention.
The DMR was engaged with this process.
It was engaged on the process.
Yes. So the DMR was not blind on this process.
When the business rescue and everyone else was involved, why did you go for the first option of that they must sell as Eskom? Why did you prefer that instead of enforcing the guarantees and everything else that is on the contract?
That's what we did from 2014. From 2012, that's what we did.
Okay.
That's what we did from 2012.
So you decided that you want to support the sale rather than to enforce the guarantees on the contract?
We enforced the guarantees on the contract since 2012, since Glencore took over Optimum, up until they went into business rescue in July 31.
Was there any reason of that prevented you, now that on this transaction you decided that you must do a prepayment to the Guptas that were not owning the mine, was there a reason that prevented you to do the same prepayment to Optimum? Because they were owning the mine and you wanted the coal, to say, look, you are already owning the coal, you are owning the mine, let's do the prepayment to you, rather than to go and pay people that are not owning the mine. What was stopping you to do that?
Optimum had a sale agreement with Tegeta. Now, they presented here, and
that agreement was not honored.
Come again?
By the time you paid them, that agreement was not honored, because the basis of the agreement was that it will only be concluded once the final cent has been paid to the account of what you call the business rescue. And that was not done by the time you were paying them. Why did you prefer to do that? The time you paid the Guptas, they were not owners of the mine. The agreement was not fulfilled.
But how do you engage on a long-term business with a company that is on business rescue and that is threatening liquidation?
What is the long-term basis?
This is a company.
Because we're talking here, you have to make a prepayment for 6 months. Is that a long-term basis?
I don't get you. I just don't.
The prepayment, how long was it going to sustain you? The one that you paid? The coal, how much coal, how long was it?
The prepayment assumed that Optimum is out of business rescue, and I personally have a problem.
No. Let's go back to the long-term. I'm saying you paid $585 million. How many months were you going to get the coal of that 585? How many?
I'm talking about April.
Yeah, when you made the payment, you say you paid to secure the coal. For how long?
5 months.
Yeah, so when I'm asking you that why you didn't pay, you're saying how can you engage? No. 5 months is it?
But
on the space of Eskom is 5 months a long period.
But Optimum had a sale agreement with Tegeta.
Let's leave that. Because that's why I wanted to deal with the issue of long period. There were RFPs that were on process. That took you 12 months until Treasure had to reject the extension of Tegeta. That you were not finalizing. Why was that happening? Why you couldn't finalize these other tenders that were already in the system, so that you can keep on, because Tegeta in this side, you don't finalize the tenders that you send out yourself. Tegeta in this side keep getting extension until Treasure says no. What was the challenge on finalizing those things?
We dealt with this with Advocate Van Aren. I said...
No, but I'm not Advocate Van Aren. I'm asking you a question.
I accept...
But I'm not Advocate Van Aren. I'm asking you a question. But that guy just Jefferson, it's wrong.
Yes. No.
No, it's wrong. It's wrong. I'm just dealing with an issue. I'm asking the witness a question. He's telling me about Advocate Van Aren. Now you want to tell me about other people that are out there. What should I do? I must wait for them to say, no, you can follow up now. It's wrong. Mr. Cook, can we deal with the question that I'm asking you?
Arnott was a 40-year contract. It expired in December 2015. For a 40-year contract, I accept the criticism that says the new contract should already be in place. That I accept. I don't know what more do I say.
Well, accept the criticism.
Yes.
Of not doing your work.
I'm not sure why you say it's my work. I mean, you...
But you're the CEO. Everything stops with you. Or we should call other junior managers here. No, you're the CEO. Everything stops with you. You're the one who's responsible for that company. You are saying in Eskom there are no competitive bids. You're saying for the last 40 years there are no competitive
bids. I'm saying Eskom up until around 2015, there was never an open tender to procure coal. That's what I'm saying.
Now, is that sorted, please?
The board of Eskom has resolved that we must do that.
To the Guptas, do they have a proper contract now where that went through a bid or something? Or are they still on that contract that you can't explain? What is the current status now? How are they operating with Eskom?
I don't know. I'm out of the system for 8 months now. I don't know what's happening.
No, in the last 8 months before you left, what was the story? What was the status of the Guptas before you left?
They had the contract that I mentioned in January and the contract that I mentioned in February 2016. And then they had a prepayment contract on the 11th of April.
So the time you left, they still own a prepayment contract?
It was done. It was completed. All coal was delivered within 5 months.
So the time you left, they had no contract?
The time I left, they had, other than the optimum contract, they had nothing. Because Brackenfell is no longer owned by them.
The Salim Issa,
yes.
Do you know his offices?
Yes, I do.
In Melrose?
Yes.
You've been to his office?
I've visited him, yes. I've been there.
You're saying what were you doing in his offices?
We discussed the trillion payments.
What position were you holding at that time? You went to their offices to discuss trillion?
I was a group executive generation.
And that contract was under your department?
No, it wasn't.
So how did you go and you leave your office at Eskom, you go to Melrose Arc to meet Salim Issa on a contract that's not
because
under your department?
Because we had a workshop.
Where?
With McKinsey and Trillion.
But this contract has got nothing to do with you and your operation. Is that what you're saying to me?
No.
Okay, the contract of 3 million Mackens, was it under, when you were holding that position, was it under your department? That's what I'm asking.
It was not.
It was not under your department?
Yes.
All right, so where was the workshop?
We had a workshop at Megawatt Park. We met the McKenzie guys there.
Right.
We met the CEO of McKenzie. Through the CEO of McKenzie, they arranged a meeting with Salim. I met them. And the reason I met them is because they were I'm interested in all the BE partners of the big suppliers. They raised the issue of payment. All small suppliers raised the issue of payment. I said no.
You had a workshop in Megawatt Park.
Yes.
And they arranged a meeting and you leave Megawatt Park to go to Melrose. Is that the norm?
It's on an
operation that doesn't sit within your team.
Nothing unusual. I visit our suppliers. It's a pain, nothing unusual. I didn't even think
twice. Okay, you visit your suppliers. What were they supplying you? McKenzie and Trillion. They just told the whole world that they are ready to pay you. What were they supplying you?
They had a project at Megawatt Park. McKenzie has been in Megawatt Park since 2011. In fact, earlier than that.
You know where I'm getting lost? I'm just talking of your own operation because my thinking is that each and everyone at ESCOM, if you are HR, you deal with issues of HR. Head of generation, you deal with head of generation. I'm asking specifically under your operation as head of generation, did the services that were provided by McKenzie and Trillion, were they part of what you deal with?
Correct.
Also, that's why you were on that side.
They worked at Majuba. They did a project at Majuba.
Okay, now that's fine. No, I'm about to finish, Chairperson. There's Masango. Where is Masango? Is it Masango, the guy who said was suspended? There were two guys that were saying
Masango was suspended.
You got evidence
Masango
that suppliers they paid to their account.
Yes.
Where are those guys?
The other one is suspended.
Has resigned.
Yes.
Do you still have those invoices?
They are with ESCOM.
They're with ESCOM?
Yeah.
So when someone gets money, because it's clearly it's private, they get money, they get paid by suppliers.
Yes.
And you sit with the evidence, and the guy resigned, it ends there. What else did you do about it?
It's with the police.
So you went to open the case?
The police, and of course.
Which police station did you report this case?
If you need a case number, I'll send it to you.
You got a case number?
It's a case number. It's with ESCOM. And ESCOM is investigating. The police are investigating it on behalf of ESCOM.
Okay. No, we'll request that case number so that we can follow up on the issue. And the other guy who's still suspended, the same story as well. There's a case number for him. The one who's suspended.
There's one case with the police. It's the same issue.
No, but it's for you. Open for both of them.
Yes.
There are two people here.
Yes, it's the same issue.
Okay. Oh, lastly, the fine, the 2 billion fine. Your explanation during the day, you said any company that was buying Optimum, they had to buy including that fine. There was no separate issue. Is that what happened with the Guptas?
Correct.
So that two billion is part of the package.
Yes.
Are they disputing it because
they settled just 577 million rands
with ESCOM?
No. Yeah, with ESCOM, correct.
So how did we? How did they get?
It went through arbitration.
Huh?
It went through arbitration.
Well, it went through arbitration, and then you were told that they must pay 500 million.
577.
Thank you, Chairperson. No more further questions.
Thank you very much. Can you take a water break of 5 minutes? Thank you.
Just manufactured.
And that's what Maddie's talking about. That's okay. Yeah. Nobody said a word about it. Thank you.